Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to do a rundown of some waiver wire stuff. So if you are in an existing league I know some leagues have like some late rookie drafts. Like I'm in a home league that still has a late rookie draft going on, so you can't use waivers, but waivers should be opening up or already opening up. I do want to highlight some names that from the past week or so that maybe we should be considering in terms of your waiver wire market. So I'll start first with just a couple of quarterback situations I think bear monitoring. And the first one is Bryce Perkins, and he is with the Rams. I was pretty impressed by how he played. He was a free agent and coming out of college, and now is he's fighting for a roster spot. But I actually thought he played pretty well and made some adjustments and did that sort of stuff. So he's a guy that I think there might be something to watch with. So I'm not sure if he's going to be if he's going to dethrone John Walford or anything like that. Walford had an appendectomy, so he's got an issue there. But Perkins is a guy who can move a little bit, and I saw him making multiple progressions. So I'm not sure we're necessarily adding him outside of, no one being, no one with a pulse being on the waiver wire. But he's a name that I'm going to monitor and I think pay a little bit of attention to here going forward, because if he beats out Walford, which is a totally unrealistic possibility, I think that he could be relevant. Also, looks like Trace McSorley has been injured, and some of the reports out of camp already have been that Tyler Huntley is the best quarterback, backing up Lamar Jackson. So it appears with Trace McSorley's injury that Tyler Huntley will be the backup quarterback with the Ravens. That is, I think, important because of some of the risks that we can find Lamar Jackson puts himself in. I think Tyler Huntley could be someone that's relevant in the event that Lamar goes down. So that would be, I think, really the other major situation I'd watch for. Garrett Gilbert's probably going to be the backup with Dallas, so just monitor that one. Again, I don't think that's an urgent rush to look at or anything. Tim Boyle's going to back up Jared Goff, most likely, I think. So that's another one you should just keep an eye on. David Blough might be in those 40-man rosters. He might be someone that is actually on rosters. As crazy as that might sound, he may still be there. But it does look like Tim Boyle is going to be the backup in Detroit. So that's really the big stuff there. All right, for the running back position, do a real quick rundown here. Again, I did the whole running back show, but I didn't give necessarily specific, like, this is meant to be sort of a more concise set of advice you can just listen to and then peruse your waiver wires for guys that are available. Salvin Ahmed was getting work. There's talk about a three-man rotation there in that backfield. So I think Salvin Ahmed, if he's not available, you should probably be looking for him on your waiver wire. Breida as well. I'll say Ramondre Stevenson, probably going to be a sell candidate. If I could get a second for him, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But just keep that in mind. He was like buried on that depth chart. He had the big run. It was a highlight, all that stuff, but he's buried. I do think Ty Johnson's an ad that you probably want to spend some money on in waiver wire bucks. Tevin Coleman didn't play. Ty Johnson started, or I guess 1A, 1B committee there with Michael Carter. So definitely on your waiver wire, should be a priority ad this week. Justice Hill is probably in your, he's probably rostered in most leagues, but he's in the running back three range. Gus Edwards had a personal matter, had COVID, so hopefully he's back on the mend and everything's good. But that's one. I think Justice Hill, you can do worse at running back three on your depth charts for sure. I think the most likely outcome is that Samaje Perine's the backup in Cincinnati, but I wouldn't put it past Jack Patrick or Chris Evans to potentially make a charge on that. So again, maybe in a deeper 40 man, something like that, you're taking a shot at one of those guys for like a buck. But I don't think at present in 28 or anything like that, I'm not making that move. I'm still holding on to Perine, but we'll see. I think Anthony McFarlane, if he's available, 24, 22 men, something like that. He's the ad there. It looks like he's getting the positive reports out of camp and that he's going to be the injury away guy. So I'm on that one as well. And then sort of running down here, the rest of the depth charts, I don't think there's a ton of mystery here with the Texans, not with the Colts either. With the Jaguars, I think we got that pretty settled. There's no real uncertainty there. Tennessee is interesting, and I would say I think Jeremy McNichols, with the Darrington Evans injury, Jeremy McNichols is probably going to be the guy that's the one injury away guy. They have high hopes for Evans, so we'll see sort of what that injury is. I am putting my chip on McNichols. He was ahead of Hill, and so I think he's one that we're definitely going to be looking at and adding this week. Not going to break the bank, but I think it requires maybe more than a buck to do it with. I'm maybe a buck if he's available and 30 man, something like that, on Royce Freeman, just because he looked decent enough that I think he could potentially garner some opportunity. Mike Boone got injured. Demaryius Crockett's a name from way down the depth chart. I think could, if something happens with Royce Freeman, if he gets traded, something like that, or cut, because you don't want to pay a lot of money to your backup third-string running back. Crockett's a guy that we'll just keep in bare monitoring. Jerick McKinnon playing enough that I think he might make the team. Playing enough on special teams, I think he might make the team. So if he's not rostered, maybe throw a buck at him. Again, I think Darrell Williams is the running back two there, treated like the running back two. But McKinnon, maybe some of the athleticism's coming back. So we'll see there how that all goes. Trey Regis actually played really well, UDFA coming out of college last year. So we'll see there. Not a huge profile, but if he makes the team, I think it could be interesting. I might, in 30-man, 35-man, something like that, throw a buck on him to stash him on the roster and see how it turns out. Larry Rountree, I'm more aggressive on. I do think that he's one you probably should. He has real outs to be the running back two. I think Justin Jackson's going to be the running back two, but I think if there's someone behind him, my bet is going to be Larry Rountree. I think he could make Joshua Kelly expendable. That's that. There's not really much mystery in Dallas to me. Dowdle, maybe 30 man, something like that. You're interested. The Giants, I'm taking a speculative flyer on Corey Clement this week. If he's available, and he's probably more of a medium ad. He's not one of the dollar flyer guys. He's maybe a little bit more than that, that we definitely are interested in. There's some positive buzz with him out of Giants training camp. Maybe that he's ahead of Booker. They use Booker ahead of Komet in training camp, so I'm not super, super concerned about it, but I think it's maybe worth just having a chip and a chair on Komet. You know, if it's maybe a couple bucks or something like that in your league, I'm looking probably at 24 to 28 man, something like that is probably where he's going to fit on your roster. Boston Scott looks like the injury away guy in Philly. So I do think Jordan Howard may be worth a deeper stash, maybe for a buck or something like that. I think he's probably still a live player. Again, I question the upside ultimately in that. And I'd probably rather have some of these other guys, but maybe if you're looking 30 man plus, something like that, and Howard's available and some of these other guys aren't, you take a shot on him. Kerryon Johnson got cut, so that opens up. There's beat reports out of Philly that it's going to be Jordan Howard making the roster. So Peyton Barber in behind Antonio Gibson. So I think he's an interesting one for a dollar stash. Another player just to sort of monitor is Jarrett Patterson. I don't think he profiles like an injury away running back. But we'll see there how, you know, he's been the subject of some positive reports too. I think I'm more monitoring him for right now than I am going out and making any sort of big addition, just because I'm not sure how he ultimately fits. You know, maybe a buck in like 30 man, something like that was what you put on him. Going down here, Craig Reynolds, I'm going to watch for another week in Detroit. Khalil Herbert, we'll watch for another week in Chicago. Both interesting, but more watch from afar. We got to see what the deal is on Kenny Ngannou. Maybe it makes Amir Abdullah sort of relevant later on, but I'm not adding anyone there. I think Caleb Huntley is an interesting dollar ad, maybe 30, 35 man, something like that. I think he's probably going to be the running back three behind Davis, Allison. I guess Cordarrelle Patterson might be the running back three. Caleb Huntley might make the roster as like as a fourth guy. I think he's interesting from that perspective. looking here also down the line, Tony Jones played pretty well with the Saints. I'm probably not going to put much on him because I still think it's Latavius Murray as the injury away guy. But let's watch him for another week in, you know, 28 man, something like that. If you're looking 35, 40, throw a chip down, that's fine. Going down here further, Benjamin looked okay, you know, looked all right in Arizona. I still think he's buried behind Edmonds and Connor, so I'm not going to make any sort of move there as of yet. Xavier Jones is the guy in with the Rams. He's probably owned, but I think he's going to be the injury away guy there. Jake Funk is sort of, was committee, like with Jones, I think it was an 8-6 split in favor of Xavier Jones and Jake ahead of Jake Funk. So we'll take, I think Funk's going to play on special teams too. I think he's probably gonna make that roster. So that's the breakdown priority. I know there was some question early on in the preseason. I think we have that answered. It looks like Elijah Mitchell's going to miss some time with it's like an abductor strain or something like that. So maybe they try and float him through on IR. We'll see how that goes. Wayne Gallman's probably going to make your roster, and I think that's nice. Jamichael Hasty maybe makes the roster too. You got Jeff Wilson on PUP. So we'll see how all that plays out. I'm not making a big ad there. It does look like Sermon, Mostert. Maybe Gallman is a running back three. You take like a dollar shot on at 28, 30 man if you got room there. Last one, I'll say Alex Collins might push Rashad Penny as Penny starts to get into practice this week. Alex Collins has been a buzz guy. He's a potential one that could maybe unseat Rashad Penny in camp. Couple here at wide receiver that I'm looking at. Donovan Peoples-Jones has drawn a ton of praise. A couple buddies out in Cleveland mentioning it to me as well. That's been a pretty consistent drumbeat there. So we'll see. Again, low pedigree. I'm not making any sort of big investment. But throw a couple bucks, maybe 24 to 28 man, something like that. And hey, look, if Odell Beckham Jr. is not all the way back, he could find himself on the field for wide receiver two type snaps. It's not necessarily unreasonable. Rashad Higgins is there as well. So, you know, we'll see with that. It's probably not a huge upside situation, but it could be a flip guy for sure that I'm interested in looking at. He's the big name there. Marvin Jones maybe later on down the line if he's available. I doubt that he is, but that's a name to think about. Racy McGrath in Tennessee was drawing a whole bunch of buzz, but that sort of faded away. He's drawing Julio comparisons, which for a six-round guy seems a little much, but here we are. So we'll see there. He didn't really do much in the preseason game, so we'll be skeptical on that one, I think, until we see maybe a little bit more. If Josh Palmer's available, he's been getting some buzz, saw a bunch of targets. So he's one down the line, you know, 24, 28 man, something like that. He might be available. John Ross, drawn a little bit of buzz. Again, that's probably 28, 30 man, something like that. Maybe even 35 man before we really get into that. I'd rather have a lot of the running backs over John Ross. But that situation with Galladay, kind of banged up. Kadarius Toney just choosing like not to practice. I don't know. It seems like a whole dysfunctional situation. John Ross like, could be, dare we say it, the most talented wide receiver on their depth chart. I don't think that would be, you know, Sterling Shepard's fine, but I think John Ross is a different type of player. Again, it hasn't really worked out to date, but he'd be one that I'd be interested to watch. And Daniel Jones actually throws a decent deep ball, so it'd be interesting to watch. Quez Watkins was a boom guy. Again, I'm not sort of getting in on him yet, but I think he bears monitoring. I think if I'm going to add someone, I need some production. Adam Humphries is interesting in Washington. Again, I think like 28 man, something like that, could potentially be on your waiver wire and be an ad candidate. Quentin Cephas has drawn some positive buzz as well in Detroit. So just keep an eye on him. I don't think the 1 and 2 in that depth chart are anything to really behold with Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman. If Tyrell Williams is available in like 24 man, that might be interesting. Quintez Cephas probably more in like 30 man, something like that is where you're looking at. And of course, 30 man means how many roster spots. So that's the situation there with the NFC South. I think it's pretty, we kind of know. Jalen Darden's drawn a whole bunch of positive buzz, but again, how do you, like, they've done a good job of adding decent wide receivers. Took Tyler Johnson last year, Darden this year. But again, you're behind Scotty Miller and Antonio Brown and Evans and Godwin. Like, it's going to be tough to get all those guys in. So we'll watch for that. But he is a name that has drawn some buzz. Maybe he can do some stuff on special teams and make himself relevant. And that's pretty much the situation there. Tutu Atwell's back practicing. I think he's interesting. I will say DeSean Jackson's drawn some positive buzz as well for the Rams. So again, maybe he's like a what the heck flex type of situation. But I think they really want to unlock the deep passing game, and I think they're going to be able to with Stafford. So I'm really interested in what they're going to do. They duplicated their efforts, and that might be an undertold story, is that they really, you know, they go out and they get DeSean Jackson, and they go get Tutu Atwell. And again, we can have some, do they need to spend a second round draft pick on Tutu Atwell? Probably not, but did, you know, what does it tell us? Well, it tells us that they're prioritizing perimeter speed. It's not something that they really have a ton of. And so I think that's interesting in terms of more so what it offers Stafford than anything. All right, one last one for the receiver position that I think bears some mentioning. Given, I don't think there's a ton here after Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. Trent Sherfield. So Trent Sherfield drawn a whole bunch of buzz. Obviously, he was the recipient of the Trey Lance addition, or the Trey Lance touchdown there, the big long touchdown. That was Trent Sherfield on the receiving end. It was in Arizona. Lance now with San Francisco. Been one of the better receivers in camp. Consistent buzz there. So interested in watching him. And I think that's probably more, again, 28, 30 man, something like that. That's probably the depth of what you're looking. 35, it's probably the depth of what you're looking at a guy like Sherfield. Real quick at the tight end position. You've got Josh Oliver's interesting in Baltimore. He hasn't proven that he can't play yet. He's just proven that he has struggled to stay healthy. So he's a name I'm just interested in. They know how to work the tight end position. They've got some variety there. He really profiles as like a receiving type. So they've got some guys that can block. Boyle's on pup. But outside of Andrews, they don't have a ton there. So I think Oliver is just interesting and bears some monitoring there. And then you really look, I mean, Jeff Swaim's the listed starter in Tennessee. I don't think he's super compelling. Firkser is really getting some positive buzz there, but they listed Swaim ahead of him just because he plays a more traditional position, I think. But they've been pretty laudatory is not the right word, but they've been optimistic and sort of positive about how he's done this offseason. He came in noticeably bigger, too, according to beat reporters. I covered them this week for Football Guys in relief, and so that was something that stuck out to me. Donald Parham, if he's available, I doubt he probably is in anything less than, you know, in anything more than like 24-man, but he's interesting with the Chargers, though he's buried. Trey McKitty hasn't really gotten off the ground yet. And so that's pretty much the deal at tight end. Elise Mack. So there was this horrible incident that happened. They had a tight end that was in a car accident. He was projected to potentially make the roster ahead of Elise Mack. Alize Mack. He came over with Dan Campbell from the Saints. So I think he's a tight end three type. I don't think he's super relevant, but if you're playing 40-man, two tight end, everyone's rostered, he's one that I'm just taking a peek see at because I think he might make the roster. Dan Arnold, if he's available, 20, you know, anything probably less than 28-man, he's probably going to be available. I think he's interesting for the Panthers there. He's been pretty efficient on a route run basis. And you could take a look there. And that's pretty much it. Ross Dwelly is getting positive buzz, too. I guess we'll mention him, close out with Ross Dwelly with the Saints. He's drawn some positive buzz from coaches and from George Kittle. George Kittle's like his biggest, I don't know if his advocate's the right word, but he's pumping the stock up of Ross Dwelly. So if you're playing two tight end and something like that, he's a guy that I think bears some interest in real, real deep leagues. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. I hope this helps in sort of your waiver wires. And again, appreciate any feedback you have in terms of how to best put these things together so that they're usable for you. So it's a new feature this year, and hopefully we'll do it on Wednesdays here going forward during the season. In the off season, I'll have something for you on Wednesday mornings. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.